Dear friends and family, but in particular you confirmants today, I hope you believe me when I say it's the real deal and that you don't want to miss this deal. I don't know if you have seen the show. It was on for a number of years and then off for a few and has come back this in the fall of 2018, Deal or No Deal. Howie Mandel will bring out briefcases that are filled with either 1 cent up to $1 million. If I had these briefcases in front of you today, a briefcase that you could pick, and you got your pick, how would you feel? Excited? Up to $1 million today. I think a couple of you would say, yeah, that would be okay. That would be a good confirmation class. One of you might walk away with only having a penny in your hand, but another person, $1 million. Wow. But you know, the thing is, it doesn't take any skill really at all. It just takes guts, or maybe it takes foolishness to just hold on to the one. I'm going to keep it. Because sometimes the banker, have you ever seen that? The banker will offer you something of an in-between amount. You could have $1 million or you could have a penny, but the banker says, how about we settle for 250? Would you take 250,000 today? Mr. Herring, I don't think we can afford it. But wouldn't you like to know how to choose the best deal? Satan has a way of going after us and offering us all kinds of things. He will make it look like it's too good to be true. And as your parents will say, it usually is. It could be that it ends in permanent sadness. So today, we want to talk a little bit about the real choice that you are making, what you are doing today. You are asking the Lord to guide you. On page 18, you'll find a sermon outline, and I want you to go there because you want to see the difference between God and people. People don't or won't, but God does. People don't or won't keep their end of the deal. The old covenant opened up a new way of dealing with trouble. The people of Israel were taught this in a very graphic lesson. You've learned about this in Egypt. For over 400 years, they had gotten into this situation where Pharaoh had ruled them in slavery. And that's not a real good position to be in. They wanted out of it. They cried that God would show them mercy. And God gave them a new deal. Now, we would call it a covenant or an agreement rather than a deal. In fact, he made 7 of these, if you count my way, it could be a few more or less. 7 of these through the Old Testament. You remember which one was the first? That was a big deal. With Noah. When the flood destroyed all people but 8, he made a sign in the heavens, and you've seen it, a rainbow, that said it was an unconditional promise to human beings, I will never do this again until the end of time. And then he made an unconditional agreement with Abraham that they would inherit the land, his offspring. And he went on, including an unconditional agreement with David that he would be the king forever. Out of his line would come one who would rule forever, and you know that. Who's the son of David? Matt, who's the son of David? Yeah, he was the son of David, Solomon. Mr. Herring, which one should I ask? Who should I ask? Who's the son of David? He's referring to Jesus, right? Jesus is the one who rules forever. That wasn't on your script. You didn't have that. It wasn't in there. There are two covenants here that he's going to distinguish. The one given at Sinai through Moses, we call it a bilateral covenant. You remember that, right? Bilateral and unilateral covenant. Unilateral is when God does all the work. A bilateral is when he expects something in return. The bilateral is a conditional. If you do this, then I will bless you. The unconditional is God giving, doing everything. In fact, that's how this text in Jeremiah starts. He said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers." The reason it was new was because it was, in a sense, what God had always planned, that He would do everything. And this is really the goal of your confirmation experience, is to learn that there is a deal that doesn't cost you anything, and you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. But it is also involving your relationship with God. He says, "Not like that which I made with your forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." Now let me ask you this. If we had you decide whether you would come to class on Wednesdays or on Tuesdays and Thursdays, would you? After this, you still have to finish out the year. Remember what Mr. Herring said, you still have some classes. But after this year, you don't have to worry about going to confirmation class anymore. You're growing up, and it's kind of like, well, we got that behind us. But do you really? See, the new covenant is about a relationship of your heart. And there's where the problem often begins, is that God didn't want the Israelites to forget, but they did. They would forget that He had delivered them through the Red Sea. Remember how Moses would hold his hands up and it would turn into dry ground? Right on through, and then it would flash over the top of Pharaoh and his chariots and turn them into fish bait. But they went on and on again and again to forget God. And the new covenant was a reminder that there's so much more. In fact, they would get so severe that Jeremiah, our author today, is called the 11th hour prophet. It would get so severe at the end that God would have to give them a 70-year timeline. He would have to destroy most of Israel and take them away into captivity, and only a few would remain to believe. So let me ask you this. As you're preparing to receive the Lord's body and blood, is this going to be something you do today and it's gone tomorrow? Or is this going to last? And I look, you know, out into the family systems as well. We can't guarantee. I don't know the future. I know today. I know what's done in the past. But this is a covenant agreement, your confirmation. You're going to say vows to God today. You know, by our nature, we tend to ignore inconvenient obligations. Going to class is kind of inconvenient. Studying for a test is kind of inconvenient. You did this for who? For your parents? For your grandparents? For everybody that's here? No. You did it, Ethan? For God. For God. For your relationship with God. Yes. And when we have this kind of a bond with God, we learn what He is trying to teach us. It's not, our relationship with God is not based on how often we go to church, how much we give God, because finally, it's what God has done for us. But He does, just like a parent, He wants you to respond positively. He wants you to want it, rather than just discard something that's so costly. This is the real deal. Ask Jesus, God's own Son, whether it was an option for Him. He went to the cross so that He could make the deal with you. See, the problem is that a lot of times people get caught between the law and the love of God. That's something for the adults to think about. It's mostly our relationship about how we feel we're doing. You know, that person is sitting in the bench with you today. There's a person with you today that thinks, you know, hey, my relationship with God's better because I've been going to church more. I've been doing more. But there's also a person in your bench with you that maybe says, oh, it doesn't matter that much. God's a loving God. It doesn't matter if I curse or swear or tell bad jokes or the things I do because God will forgive me. He's such a loving God. You know who that is sitting with you? That's the old nature in you, in us. We often get it mixed up that you don't get this relationship by the law. We break the law. And remember, though you've learned the Ten Commandments, you really need to understand we can't keep them. But one did. And it's the coming of Christ that makes the difference. Now, my next part, I'm going to wipe out half the congregation right away. They're going to ignore me because I'm going to talk about taxes. As soon as you talk about taxes, nobody, you're not there yet, but wait until it comes. Did you know that the tax code in America is 70,000 pages? And most of that is the small supportive statements to the 2,600-page actual document. Which of you adults who pay taxes has read and knows all 2,600 pages of the tax law in America? Okay? Likely as not, and I will say this because I'm with you, that we're in some form of violation of the tax law because it's based on 26, and it's so voluminous that almost every taxpayer maybe is missing something and, or overpaying, heaven forbid, you know. But what if we just had a tax revision? Let's go for another one. Let's just abolish the IRS. If one of you can become president and you can just get rid of the IRS and taxes because you know that people are so good, they'll pay on their own, right? They'll do this voluntarily, right? And everybody's going to say, that's going to be a disaster. The country isn't going to have any money to run its business, and you're right. But God already did that for you. What's amazing is that He didn't let down His end of the deal. Here's where this gets really good. What you've been learning about is the love of God in Christ, that whether you are there or not, it's still available. Whether you believe it or not, it's still there. Remember universal justification? The three kinds? There's the objective, universal, and subjective justification. And the universal says it's available for all. Subjective is when you actually believe it and you receive it. God has made this covenant with you, and in your confirmation, you are now giving testimony to the new covenant. You will do so here at the altar with the reception of the body and blood of Christ. When you do this, when you say your vows and you receive the Lord's body and blood, you are saying, I'm going to follow this because it's the real deal. It's the best of the cases. And I hope it stays with you for a long time. Mr. Herring and I will be praying that you are really understanding what confirmation was about. It wasn't about memorizing lots of passages or getting the commandments and the articles down in your head. Yeah, that's all part of cognitive. But it was about your heart. It was about who you are with the Lord. And so today, I want you to see that as we look here, instead of arguing against us, Christ has come and argued for us. There's no way God will stand against you. And just because you're in white doesn't mean you're that pure. You still have a sinner underneath. I'm wearing white. Pastor has, and so does Mr. Herring. We still have that sin nature. But God has put His righteousness over the top of you to argue that you belong with Him forever. I think the word deal is too casual. It's not really just a deal. It's not a good deal. It's a covenant that God made with you. It was a costly agreement. One last thing I want to talk about as you witness this in your confirmation. That's what today is. We're celebrating that you witnessed God signing on the dotted line and paying the bill for you. I want you to hear something. Did you know that 6 months ago, it was officially given in Chinese law that the Bible is banned from China? 1.4 billion people can no longer receive the Bible without paying a price for it. Did you know that in North Korea, if you own a Bible, you'll be killed? Did you know that many countries still have that and that Christianity is persecuted throughout the world? In America, now you've not experienced that. 88% of the population have Bibles available to them, at least one. And most families have four Bibles that are available. And I suppose I shouldn't talk about how much dust some of them catch. But did you also know that 50% of the books in this world right now are purchased through one company? It starts with an A-M. I won't pronounce the whole name. Did you also know that that company has agreed to China's policy and they will not distribute Bibles to 1.4 billion Chinese? And you think about Satan. He is the prince of this world and of darkness. He wants to steal the Word of God away from you. He'll do everything he can to get you so involved in your world and the pursuit of your own career and the pursuit of your stuff and your interests that he'll try to snatch that Bible away from you even while it's in your hands. But God has given you this opportunity. What we celebrate today is not what Amos discovered. Amos discovered that the time was coming. He prophesied, a time is coming when it won't just be a famine in the land of food or of water, but a famine of the Word of God. Don't let that be in your life. Stay connected to your catechisms, to the Word of God, to worship, to the Lord's body and blood, and it will sustain you. No matter where you go, it will be the gift that God has given. In fact, you won. You won because he won for you. That's what happened. When he said it's finished, he said you won forever. Hang on to that. Amen.